Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message. Let me tell you, if your kids don't go to youth, I would encourage you to let them come. Something special going on in the youth group. And I was in here Wednesday during their worship set, and they were just all up here doing acoustic, and I just sat back there and wept the whole night because it was so beautiful, so pure. And man, I'm just so happy. I'm so proud of the students that serve. And, you know, I'm just telling you, students, lean into what God's doing in your life. Yeah. Lean into it, man. Go after it. Chase after it. No telling what God can do through your life if you just let him. Amen? Amen. I'm going to call Casey up. He's going to read scripture today. Casey is one of our elders. We love Casey. I'll get you that mic over there. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3 today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So it's not a long verse.
No, it's the longest one.
So yeah, so you got the easy one today. Would you stand for the reading of the word this morning?
Everybody get comfortable standing.
Yeah.
All right, 1 John 3, 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. That's it. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you for that relationship that you want to have with us as our Heavenly Father, Lord, the perfect Father. Lord, we feel how much you love us, and we know how much that you want to do for us, Lord. And Lord, you know all the stars in the sky, and yet you want to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Lord, we can't thank you enough for everything that you've done and will do. And Lord, I just pray that you be with Neil through this message. Lord, open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say, Lord, and to take it out into the world and to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Who are we, really? I think that's the quest we all have sometimes. It's like, who am I really? I think we kind of build our identity off of so many things in our lives. It's like what we do. That's who I am. Like, I'm a pastor, right? Who am I really? Like, we base our lives off of the people in our life. Like, I'm a husband to my wife. That's who I am. I'm a dad to my children. That's who I am. But who am I really? When it gets down to the bare bones, who am I? And maybe you're in that same question. You look in the mirror and you're like, who am I really? This quest for identity, to know who we are, is common to every man and to every woman. And we want to know truly who we are, why we have a purpose, why we're here on this earth, and what God wants to do in our lives. And John is writing to the church to remind them in this passage of who they are. Like, you're a child of God. You're not only a child of God, but he loves you deeply. He loves you dearly. And today I hope that you leave here encouraged, knowing at least that you are a child of God. And at the most, rejoicing that he loves you so immensely that you can't even fathom his love for you today. As I was preparing for this message, we were supposed to go through verse 1 through 3, and I just kept getting stuck on 1. I couldn't get past his love for me. I couldn't get past his love for you. And we've been praying as a staff even over this verse, saying, God, reveal to these people how much you love them. Reveal to these people what it means to be a child of God. And I pray that you understand that today. Even while I was writing this this week, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and next to me were two people talking, and this person tells the other person, I found out something this week that rocked my world. And they found out that they weren't really who they thought they were. Like, her mom was not really her mom. It was, but it wasn't. She was born, I don't know what the technical term is. Nobody gave it to me last service, so forgive me if I'm not a person in the medical field, but she was intravenously given. So it wasn't her egg. It wasn't the mom's egg. It was somebody else's egg. It was the dad's seed, but not the mom's egg. I know there's a technical term for that. I'm not good at medical field. There you go. But she was, her mom carried her. That was her mom. That's really her mom. And she loved her. She cared for her. She said, that's my mom. I love my mom. I'm thankful for what mom did for me. But then there's a part of her now, she's like, but who am I really? Am I this? So there's a whole other part of me that I'm unfamiliar with. And for her, while I was sitting here listening, I'm like, I'm glad that she understands that her parents, her mom loves her, and that she loves her, and that she's there for her, and that she's part of the family. But if she does find this, the DNA part of her, I believe that she just wants to know that she's accepted by her, by the DNA part, by the biological mom, that she's wanted. We all want to be wanted. We all want to be loved. And this is what John is telling you, that you may be biologically your parents' child, but spiritually, you're his child. And because spiritually you're his child, you are loved beyond measure. It's beyond the biological thing, because I love my kids. I'll do anything for my kids, but my love is imperfect because I'm flesh and blood. I don't see things correctly. I have emotions that I sometimes get out of control, right? We're not perfect, but our Father in heaven, he is perfect. Yes. And I love how John breaks this down. He starts off with this very first word, see. So he's telling the church here, he's telling you and me, he's like, look, open your eyes, see how much God loves you. And I'm asking the Lord, God, show me how much you love me, because I know you love me. I've experienced your love. And this is amazing. I've experienced it in ways that are just mind-blowing. But God, let me see even deeper how much you love me. And while I was on sabbatical, that was my quest. Was God, show me how much you love me and what it means to be your son. Because I knew how to be a pastor. I knew how to be a dad. I knew how to be a friend. But I really didn't know how to be a son, his son. And through that journey, I got to the point where, okay, I think I kind of understand. But really, you won't fully understand until you see him face to face. He loves us so much. See how much, very much, our Father loves us. This is how much he loves us. He calls us his children. And that's what we are. See, the love of God is the deepest love that we can imagine. And in the English language, we don't really understand love. Like, I love a lot of things, but to really love unselfishly, there's a Greek word for it called, it's named agape, which is agape love, the greatest love that's out there. It surpasses them. I mean, it surpasses me, but it's all about them. So agape love is this: it's choosing the highest good for another person no matter what it costs you. Choosing the highest good for another person. It's selfless. There's no self in it. It's all about them, all about the people that I'm engaged with, no matter the cost. Jesus is the epitome of agape. He came, he paid the ultimate cost for you and for me. God gives agape love, perfect love. And I love how the NIV translated this passage. Like, we just read it in New Living Translation. I don't really give the NIV much love. It's okay. But the NIV put it this way because I think the translators got it. When they were writing this down and translating from the Greek into English, they understood. I can imagine them writing this, you know, see how much the Father loves us. He's like, man, man, do you understand how much God loves you? And this is how they wrote it. See what great love the Father has lavished on you, that we should be called children of God, exclamation point. And that's what we are. Wow, we're children of God. It's amazing. But yeah, we don't realize it. So the NIV, man, they're excited. They get it. Other translations, they put a period there. They don't get it. NIV gets it. Like, we're children of God. That's who we are. Like, oh my God, you know what that means? And that he lavished his love on us. I love the word lavished. Lavished means to overflow with generosity. It means to pour out freely. It means to hold nothing back. It's like layer upon layer upon layer, like thick. His love is thick. It's amazing. You never get to the end of it. That means that his love will never wear thin. His love will never wear out. His love will never decrease. It can only increase. If he can just turn us down a little bit, it'll stop doing the breathing thing. I'm a little excited after first service. But he's lavished it. He's given it in abundance. Look, I love to lavish on my kids, but I don't have ultimate resources to give them. They never leave my house empty-handed. My wife makes sure of that. And I kind of like give her a hard time about it. I was like, why are you giving away all my meat? Why are you giving away all my steaks? Like, why are you giving away my stuff? Like, why are you getting rid of that's my cookies. Don't give them my cookies, right? Amen, somebody? Like, you know. But I fight about it, but I'm glad that they're taking it because they're my kids. And I want to give them good gifts because I love them. I lavish my love on them. And I don't have infinite love like God has. It's lavished. It's given in abundance. And this is what God gives to us. We just got back from a conference called the North Texas Leadership Conference. I took some of the staff to go. And while we're there, we're not only receiving like good stuff about leadership and who we are and God, but after each session, you'd go outside and they would give you a book. And they did this after every session. And there was 6 to 8 sessions. And so we left there with handfuls of books. Gerald Brooks, who puts it on, lavished us with books. And not only that, at the end of it, all the senior pastors in the room, he said, every year I give a gift to senior pastors because God loves you. And God wants me to express that love to you through this gift. And this year I went and he said, I asked the Lord, do I keep giving gifts? And he basically told Gerald, like, I always love these people, so you're always going to give them gifts, right? And so this year he gave us an Apple Watch. Very extravagant. And he said this, he goes, this is what I want you to know when you grab this, that there is never a time in your life that God does not love you. So every time you look at that watch, just remember that there is never a time in your life that God does not love you. And today, I want you to know, there's never a time in your life, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what's happening to you right now, no matter what the future looks like, there's never a time that God does not love you. He's lavished it on his children. Here's the truth. If you have faith in Jesus, you are God's child. And because you're God's child, you are loved. He lavishes his grace on us. He lavishes his love on us. He loves his kids. And look, I say if you have faith in Jesus, you're his children, because here's the reality. Not everybody's his children. I want to give you some theology of being God's child today. And I may be blowing your mind right now, and you may be like, what are you talking about? This guy's getting weird. Like, what do you mean I'm not everybody's God's child? Well, didn't God create everybody? Yes, there's a difference between being created in his image. There's a difference between being an image bearer and being in relationship with him and being a son and a daughter. We're all created in his image, but not all of us are sons and daughters. Jesus himself even tells us here in John chapter 1, John is explaining this thing about the Lord, and this is what John says. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people. These are the Jews of the time. They should have known Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't recognize him. They even rejected him. but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. When you believe in Jesus, you have the right to become a child of God. And that's what you are. See, we all bear God's image, but only those who were born of his spirit belong to his family. Amen. We're going to go deeper into this in January when we come back to 1 John. We're going to pause a little bit for the holidays and do some other things. But just know this. All people bear God's image, but only those who are born of the spirit belong to his family. He is the creator. He is the maker. And for many, that's all he's ever going to be. Until we put our faith in his son. When we do that, we are reborn of the spirit. And we are reborn of the spirit, that's what makes us sons and daughters. Remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus? Some of you know your Bible. Some of you may go back and read it. But in John chapter 3, we all know the passage, right? We all stand on, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life. And that passage is so amazing, and we love that passage. But all the stuff behind it is this conversation with this religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus sees Jesus teaching and performing miracles, and so he's like, there's something to this guy. I need to go find out. So Nicodemus comes in the middle of the night, didn't want nobody else knowing he was there. And he talks to Jesus. And Jesus opens up the kingdom to Nicodemus, and he tells Nicodemus, basically, like, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And it confuses Nicodemus. He's like, what are you talking about, born again? He's like, unless you're born of the Spirit, then you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, it confuses Nicodemus. Like, what do you mean, born again? Do I have to go back in my mother's womb and then come back out? Like, I don't get this. What are you talking about? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the law, and you don't understand spiritual things. It's not being born in the flesh that makes you a child of God. It's being born in the spirit that makes you a child of God. Nicodemus, if you asked any Jew at that time, any Israelite, any priest, if you're a child of God, they would say, yes, because I'm a child of Abraham and I'm a child of the promise. But Jesus is saying, it's not that you're a seed of Abraham, but that you're born of the Spirit. That's what makes you and gets you into the kingdom of heaven. Yes. It's not being image bearers that make us special. It's having relationship with Jesus and the Father through the Spirit that makes us sons and daughters. That's the difference. It's not about physical birth. It's about spiritual birth. It's about relationship with God. This is why you're a child of God, because you have a relationship with the Father. Just because you were created by him doesn't mean you have a relationship with him. When you're reborn of the Spirit, you have a relationship with him. I'm going to get deeper into that. And when you know that you are in right relationship with God, you know that you are also a son and a daughter of him and a child of God. And that makes you walk a little different, makes you love a little different. It makes you handle situations in your life a little different, because you're no longer handling them as someone who is by themselves. You're now walking out through those things knowing that you have a heavenly Father who has all authority, all blessing, and all resource to get you through it. J.I. Packer, a theologian and pastor, said this: if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of being a child of God. When I talk to people about their faith, I can tell how much they understand their faith by how they talk about their Father, what he's done in their life, how he's moved in their life, how he's called them, how they live their life out. And for you and for me, when we get an understanding that God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, we live a little different. And so the question I have for you today is, do you know you are God's child? Do you know? Remember, the series is, this is how we know. Do you know you're God's child? And not only that, do you know what that means for you? Many of us don't know that we're God's child. We may have given our life to Jesus, had baptism, have gone to, you know, have showed up to church and learned, but we don't really know that we're God's child. We're still living like we're spiritual orphans. We're still living like we don't have a Heavenly Father who loves us. We call this, in theological term, an orphan heart, or other people say an orphan spirit. This is living out of an orphan mentality, like nobody's there for me, nobody's around, nobody loves me, nobody wants me. This is the bent of us who are, before we come to faith and before we come to Christ, this is how we operate. The sad reality is many come to faith and they're still operating out of this and not out of sonship, not out of daughterhood. They're living out of orphan slave. Here's some examples of that. Maybe it applies to you. Many applied to me, but not anymore. Strives to earn love or approval. Like you got to just, everybody's got to love you. This is one I still battle with a little bit, but that was my operating system. Would you just love me? What do I need to do for you to love me? I'll bend on every conviction I have just so you'll love me. Many of us struggle with that. Independent and self-reliant. I don't need anybody. I can handle myself. Nobody's going to take care of me. Nobody can love me. It's all about me and what I can get. I'm independent. I don't need anybody to help me along. I can handle this by myself. And when I ask you, how's that going? God never meant you for you to be by yourself. He has called you to be in relationship with him, reliant on him, and interdependent, meaning dependent on each other in a family of believers. If you're in him and you're interdependent within a family of believers, you're in a good place to grow. Insecure, fears rejection. When you enter a room, how do you feel? Insecure, afraid people are going to reject you. Many people deal with this. Jealous and competitive. I can't be happy for other people when they get a raise because where's my raise? Where's my portion? Where's my portion? Where's my inheritance? Critical and controlling. Nothing's ever good enough. Controlling. I got to control everything. We're all control freaks. We all are. We need to give control up to the Lord. He's sovereign. And I find it funny that we try to control things thinking that we're going to somehow make it better. I'm sorry, but God created the universe. Every star, every planet, every galaxy, all the things we're discovering, he created all that. He can't hold your little problem in his hands and deal with that. We got to control it. Let's get over ourselves. Distrust authority. Can't trust people. They don't have my best intentions at heart. And often it's because kids who grow up with parents that abuse their authority as parents. Kids can't trust authority here on this earth. Kids that have no authority growing up can't trust authority here on this earth. We see it all the time. And it's the same thing in our own lives. If you don't understand who you are in God and that he set up authorities, he set up governments and principalities, then we can't trust them, then we can't operate in the way that he wants us to operate. Lives by religious duty. I want to focus on this one for a minute. Why did you come here this morning? Because it's something you're supposed to. It's Sunday, you're supposed to go to church. Why did you give this morning if you gave? Because pastor asked me to. Well, maybe they need some chairs, so I guess I'll throw some money in the offering plate. Why did you stand when we worshiped? Because everybody else was standing. Why did you sing? Because everybody else was singing. Why do you read your Bible when you get home? Why do you pray? Why do you do the things you do that are religious? Is it because it's something that you're supposed to do? Or is it something that you have to do? Meaning, I have to be in the presence of my Father. I have to go to church. I have to worship because I love him. He loves me, and I love these people, and I want to be around these people. There's a difference. Sonship, you operate out of what God has given to you. Orphanhood, you try to get it in different ways. I was a religious guy for many years. I came to church. That's why I started coming to church. Praise God for that. I'm glad you're here. That's why I came, because mom told me I need to come to church, so I'm going to start going to church. My kids need the church. No, I need the church. And you need the church. Rejects correction. Feels shame. When somebody tells you something that's good for you, like, hey, this is hurting you, you reject it, you get mad, you get angry, and you walk out instead of listening. Feels like a servant or an outsider, like you're less than. You know, my wife, such a beautiful person. Before I was a pastor, nobody invited me to anything. I was just staff pastor. I was like, oh, you're not important, right? That's how I felt. But when I became a pastor, like, everybody wanted me to come to their stuff. All the missionaries suddenly started calling me, and like, I'm everybody's best friend because, you know, actually they want things, right? But I started getting invited to things in the community, some Christian men's things, to go pray at city council and to do some of these other things. And my wife told me this because I had this feeling like, man, I don't belong there. I shouldn't be there. And she said, you belong and you have something they need. You belong and you have something they need. And I want to tell you, when you walk into a room with people, even a church, you belong here. And you have something somebody else needs. There's something in your life that God has done in your life that you can give to somebody else. I say this all the time. This is why we're called Waterhouse. Because what God does in us, he does through us. And what God does in you, he wants to do through you. And it's for the benefit of others. So as God's child, you're not this. But here's what you really are. You're approved. You are accepted, you're protected, you're supplied, you're loved, you're forgiven, you're valued, you're chosen, and you have an inheritance. Yes. Amen for that. This is what you are. That is what you are. You're his children. Because you're his children, you are accepted, you are approved, you are protected, you are supplied. All of this is given to you. You are forgiven, you're valued, and you're chosen, and you have an inheritance. The kingdom of heaven is yours. What on earth could satisfy you? What on earth? You're his child. Stop living like an orphan. Know who you are. There's a story about Christine Kane. You know who Christine Kane is? She's a famous speaker, a pastor. She tells a story about when she turned 33, she discovered something about herself. Her whole life, she thought her biological parents were her parents. But she discovered that at 33 that she was adopted by her parents. So it rocked her world, right? So her whole identity has been shaken. Like, who am I really? And so she went to discover this, and she went to go find out who she really was. And all she found was her birth certificate. And that birth certificate said this. For her name, it didn't have a name. It says unnamed, number 2508 of 1966. Could you imagine that being your identity? Number 2508 of your birth year. Who am I? Who am I? And so it set her on this course to find out who she was. So she opened the scriptures. She looked and said, God, who am I? And she got to the psalm that talked about how God created us and knitted us and made us. And the passage says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Amen. So, in your seats, before you were even born, God knew you. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He knows you. He loves you. He sees you. And she realized because of that fact that she was not unnamed. She had a name. She had an identity and she had a purpose. The fact said she was unwanted, but God said she was chosen. The fact says she didn't have a name. God says, I've given you a new name. It's beautiful. That's the message of 1 John 3:1. See how much he loves you, that you are called children of God, and that's what you are, child of God. You are not defined by your biological parents. Like, you can't escape the fact that you're their that they're your biological parents, because there's DNA infused in you from your biological parents. There's nature and nurture from your biological parents, right? Like, my kids can't hide the fact that they're my kids, unfortunately. Like, they have some of my bad habits. They have some of my quirks because they're mine. They're of my nature. And God, for his children, we are infused with his nature, imparted his nature, meaning that we're growing more and more like him. Like, we're learning how to love better. We're learning how to have more grace, more. We understand what true justice is, what true love is. We're becoming more like our Father because we are his children. I find it fascinating. I never knew my dad. He passed before I was born. But even growing up, my mom would say, I would do things. And she would say, your dad used to do that. I never saw him. Where did I get that? It was imparted. It was imparted because that was who he is. And when you become a child of God, when you get reborn in the Spirit, he imparts his life into you, and now you start to look and walk like him. That is how you tell if you're a child or not. Are you looking more like your heavenly Father who is in heaven? You are not defined by that. You are defined by him. I want to tell that poor sweet girl sitting next to me, like, you're not defined by who doesn't want you. You're not defined by a science kit or anything. You're defined by the people who love you. And God loves you. Let him define you. And today, let God define you. He loves you. He loves every one of you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the ins and the outs. He loves every one of you. And because he loves every one of you, he's saying, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. They're mine. I want to have the worship team come up. They're going to lead us in a song in a minute. God's love for you can be defined in this way. What he's done for you. That he sent Jesus to die for you. It's the greatest love he can do. He, looking down from heaven, saw humanity. Said, how can I love these people? Because for so long, we've been trying to work our way to God. We've been offering sacrifices. We've been doing all the work. We're trying to earn our way to God's approval, living like an orphan. But yet it never really gave reconciliation. It never really gave us response so we could have that relationship with God that we so desperately needed. And God said, I'm going to stop the madness. I'm going to bring the offering. You've been bringing the offering. It's not sufficient. I'm bringing the offering. So he sends his son. How can I love these people? That God loves for so loved the world that he sent his son. In other words, God loved the world in this way that he sent his son to die for you and for me. This is how much he loved you. He's willing to give up his son for you. Everything. Jesus loved you enough to step out of heaven into earth to die a gruesome death for your good. This is his love for you. This is his love for me. It's extravagant. It's lavish. It's beautiful. And all we got to do is step into it. Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, who was someone who hated Christians, hated Jesus has an encounter with Christ. And I want to say it was a love encounter by Jesus. Turns his life around. And he writes these very words to the Romans. I don't have it up here because I want you to read it in your own Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, if you got a device, you can look it up on your phone. By the way, there's Bibles in the back of these chairs. If you need one, take one. They're for you. He's writing to the people in Romans, and he's telling them to stop living like orphans, basically. Saying, you're doing all this stuff. That's not what your father wants you to do. That's not how children of God act. And he gets to this point in verse 14. But he starts in verse 12. I'm going to go and read 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So there's the flesh, and then there's the Spirit. There's born of the dirt, born of the Spirit. The dirt does what dirt does. The Spirit does what the Spirit does. 14, here's the beautiful part. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Who are the children of God? All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. So you have not received a spirit, this is the Spirit of God, that makes you fearful slaves, orphans. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit, this is the impartation, to affirm that we are God's children. In other words, God saw you were all orphans. And he says, I'm choosing them. I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you. The beautiful thing about this sweet girl that I was sitting next to and Christine Kane is their parents chose them. I didn't choose my kids. I love my kids. Like they're a product, but I didn't get to like pick them out. God gave them to me. And I love his choice. They're great. But this sweet girl and Christine Kane, their parents said, I choose them. I choose them. Knowing their quirks, knowing their disabilities, knowing where they're at, I choose them. And this is what Paul is saying. He adopted you. And adoption doesn't mean you just live in the house. Adoption means you have full reign of the house and you have the inheritance. His stuff is your stuff. His kingdom is your kingdom. His authority is now your authority. You're his child. And he's lavished his love on his children. He has chosen you. He loves you. I hope you see it. They're going to lead us in a song. I've asked them to lead us in the song. It's called No Longer Slaves. And this is going to be our time to just ask the Lord, how do you see me, Lord? A Christine Kane moment. God, what do you say about me? Who am I to you? I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing this song, and then I'm going to pray a blessing over you. But while we sing this, I want you to think about being a child of God and what that means. Maybe you're living like an orphan. Today, you can come and give your life to Jesus. Have the altar team up front during the song. If you need prayer, come get prayer. If you want to give your life to Jesus because you're not living through the Spirit, you're living through the flesh, and you haven't accepted the offering that Jesus has given to you to live in the Spirit, come get prayer. Come get reborn in the Spirit, and God will impart himself to you, and you'll walk differently. Father, I thank you for this, Lord. I pray as we sing this song, that he touches people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen.